The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Going. Is that what we do? We check the levels live.
Check. How am I doing?
Yeah, everybody's great.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Are you sure?
They did erase some of the most important footage of the moon landing.
What does that mean?
I guess some of like the best. I think I actually heard it on like one of those Comedy Central Instagram, the more you know type things they were doing. But it was. So let's just take it with a grain of salt. But that, like, the actual better definition, better quality footage got deleted. Not altered.
What do you mean deleted? Because I think
that NASA had so much footage, they were constantly like wiping tapes to reuse, and they'd wiped some of the.
I don't feel like I believe that less.
Yeah,
that's you're on the boards today, Dave. You got to check the computer.
I don't believe that it's. That sounds like shenanigans to
me. Yeah, if ever there was an event to stock up on videotape,
it just feels like that it's not like. NASA is your drunk uncle who taped over his wedding.
Yeah.
He's like,
You got eight.
It was Bristol, honey. That's a short track.
Oh. This is the Boogie Monster, by the way. I'm Dave. That's Kyle.
Let him know.
That beautiful Tennessee drawl you hear is our good buddy Billy Wayne Davis. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing. It's a thrill to be here.
Thanks for joining us, man.
It is.
This is the first Boogie Monster we've ever done at my pad.
Yeah, we're at Dave's house.
Yeah.
Dave and Katie's house.
Yeah.
Dave. I just want to say I'm a longtime listener. This is my first time calling in.
Oh, yeah?
This is.
Dave, let's give your Wi-Fi password out.
Yeah? Do you need the Wi-Fi?
Let me guess what yours is. Is it Banana Boat?
No.
Don't give it away yet, Katie. Is it The Friendship?
Bingo.
Really?
Aw.
Katie's the captain of the Friendship.
That's a nice.
I really shouldn't have announced that because now I need the password.
Yeah, it's all right.
And nobody knows where you live.
Yeah, we'll get you the password. I don't know where it's at, but we're on. Yeah, don't give that out yet.
951.
We can pause it up.
No, all right, hold on. Why is the cable guy? He just give you a password.
Yeah, they usually have it underneath when you buy a modem. My parents.
Oh, yeah, the little sticker.
Every time I go to my parents, if they get a new modem, they're like, it's underneath, and it's like ZYX.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus
that
Christ.
That's one of the more patience-testing endeavors is, what's the Wi-Fi password? Your father was dicking around, screwed up everything. Now the dryer doesn't work. I don't think that's connected to the internet, Mom. There was something.
He fucked it up.
Came with a website. It's not the same thing, Mom.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining us here, Billy.
Did he push play again?
So, we're rolling. We're rolling again.
Real professional operation here.
Billy, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Where you're from Tennessee.
Yes.
Bill, yourself.
I'm from Tennessee.
Crossville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Which is where?
It's in east. It's like on the edge. My county's on the edge of the central and eastern time zone.
Oh, okay.
Which is a weird way to grow up.
That just made life even harder.
And, I mean, still going back sometimes.
I would screw up going to shows in Indiana because then part of Indiana just didn't deal with time zones, but then some did. Like, go state by state.
Yeah, because it's not even state by state. It's county by county. That's how it is in Tennessee, too.
Yeah, because Chattanooga is, like, eastern.
Yeah.
And then Nashville's central.
Yes.
So you were kind of right there on the between eastern and central.
Yeah. I'm right there on I-40
between
Nashville and Knoxville.
Okay.
So
you grew up there? You grew up in Crossville?
Yeah. Cumberland Plateau.
I had a question, but I was looking at the lights on the thing.
Oh, that's okay.
If you follow weird shit, it's the home of the largest treehouse in the world.
Really?
Oh, but treehouse is nice.
Yeah, but you can't go on it anymore because kids are fornicating, doing drugs. This guy.
That's what you do in a treehouse.
That's what I said. But this guy built it because Jesus told him if he started building it, he'd always have materials.
Hmm.
And then he kept building it. It's awesome, but you can't go near it now.
You can't go far. Do you think anybody's banged in that fake Noah's Ark they made yet?
Yeah.
What with it being a religious?
Yeah,
it's very close to a lot of universities.
That's in Kentucky.
That's
right?
Like that. That's like a goal. Then
seems like a destination. That. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I can't. That guy came to my school and spoke in like elementary Noah? School. Not Noah, the guy that started that thing.
Oh, other Noah too.
Yeah, he's got a. He looks like Abraham Lincoln.
Huh.
I remember being like 6th or 7th grade when he came to speak in the gym, thinking like this seems like the opposite of what they've been teaching us in this school. Just that quick memory. I just remember thinking like this is all backwards from what they just said. And but then I remember my 7th grade science teacher, because they had to teach evolution, rolling out a video.
They had to.
Yes. And he said, I'm required by the state to show you this video. And it was about evolution.
About actual science.
Yeah, and I just remember thinking, like, this is makes sense to the rest of what you've been teaching us.
Yeah.
When did you leave? How old were you when you left?
It was as, 18, I guess, as soon as I could.
But so...
had a job that summer and then left, and I've never really been back.
Yeah, but okay, like our pal Fritz, though, like... Did you have like-minded friends when you're like, man, this place is pretty... I don't want to shit on your hometown.
You can.
I've been there, but like when you're growing up, like, this place is pretty fucked.
Well, to me, it was...
We need to leave, everybody.
So small, I felt like done the stuff.
Yeah.
And there's more stuff to go see. Like, any time I got to leave, I was very excited. I did some, like, student council stuff where they'd send me other places, and I just remember loving and be like, oh, there's, like, more people like me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, interested in other stuff besides, like, mudding and shooting stuff. And
when did that start for you? Because we have a lot in common as far as our background and our upbringing, but, like, when did it click for you of, like, hey, I don't want to just be the status quo of the rural South? You know, I want to open my mind a little more than what's around here.
Oh, I just kept going further. Mm-hmm. My thing was, like, I don't think there was ever... I think the point was, like, the adult point where I was like, I need to get out of this region, mm-hmm. was when I had started stand-up. Mm-hmm. And because of my name and my accent, people being kind of mad at what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, well, that shows up a lot in your act. Billy Wayne Davis with that southern drawl. You just, oh, I know what this guy's going to. Wait, what?
And then mad.
Oh, no, he likes gay people?
It's like, and I'm like, why are you okay with all that? Mm-hmm. You're just like, you're okay with anything, and you're
you
like,
sound like a friend, but you're truly a friend.
It's like it's like I trick them,
yeah.
Which I mean, I kind of do. I mean, I could not go by that name and everything, but it is kind of fun. But I think it was just like I just kept moving away. Like I went and played baseball in Middle Tennessee, and I was amazed that. Everyone was amazed by my accent, and I was like, I'm from an hour and a half from here.
Really?
Yes.
In college, they thought you were a bumpkin?
Oh, man. It was like from going like Gallatin, Tennessee, which is like 30 minutes. It's where Johnny Cash lived and whatever. It's like right next to Nashville.
Yeah.
An hour and a half from where I grew up, people were like, listen to this guy talk. And I'd be like, I think I sound like you guys.
Yeah.
Danny Callis in Chicago has a joke. He's like, I got the kind of accent where people don't think I went to college. It supersedes everything else.
Yes.
That might be coming out.
That great Jesse Case joke. He was like, you know, they say that the southern accent sounds dumb and you like want to fight that. But then when I want to sound dumber than I do, I just do a more southern accent.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that is what we do.
Well, it's like a Guy Branum joke. I don't know why gay people sound like this. Maybe it's the number of dicks hitting my thorax, whatever part of the throat.
Well, like I've got a bit of a southern accent, like, but back home I don't.
Nope.
Back home they think I'm some yuppie Hollywood.
Dave changed.
For yes.
But when I was out here driving Lyft, literally every third customer who got in the car, where are you from? Like sarcastically, like oh yeah I'm not from
Tokyo.
Here. Tokyo. Like, you know, out here I just sound like a fucking inbred hillbilly.
I get Australia sometimes out here.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only
who
place
are you
that's
talking
ever.
To?
I don't know, but it's happened.
That's
like,
not your accent. That's
it's happened 4 or 5 times. That's what I thought too. But like the 4th or 5th time, I was like, "This is something weird. This just happens in L.A."
L.A. brings a lot of dumb people.
Yes, mm-hmm.
This place. You know what? You don't need to be smart to have a dream.
No.
So.
No, you need to be pretty dumb to have a dream.
Come here. Yeah, this everything we're trying is pretty stupid.
Stupid. Yeah.
I was making a joke yesterday. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not smart enough to be depressed, but I'm too dumb to not get angry at things.
Yeah.
Like, if I analyze things, I don't get sad, but when, like, my computer doesn't work, I'm like, I'll punch it.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Punching my computer? Mm-hmm. No, I've broken two of them.
Do you really punch them?
Yeah. This one I have, I went back to the Apple store. I'm like,
punched
it. Like, I wrecked this one. I just need another one. I don't want any bullshit. He's like, you want Apple Care? You can punch it two more times in the next 3 years and bring it back. I'm like, sold.
That's a good.
I was like, you could tell where I was at with these devices. I'm like, yeah, give me the Apple Care.
That's a good salesman. That's like a true Apple genius where he's like, yeah, no, I got you.
He addressed, he could see my. And then I was like looking at the USB ports. I'm like, I got to get a bunch of new bullshit now.
Yeah, why is that?
They changed it. And the guy was like, it's $60 here, but you could use one of our iPads to go on Amazon and buy one for $30 right now. I'll help you. I was like, I like you a lot.
That is a nice. That calmed me down in this moment, actually.
Yeah, because the anger.
I did go. I was getting hot. I was like, oh, it's a thing. Mm.
So, Baylor, what was high school like? Did you have a diverse high school in Crossville, Tennessee?
What do you mean by diverse? Yeah, there were men and women.
Men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, what was?
There was
what
a
do you
black
think?
Guy there.
Did you have?
There was.
Have any black
there was. Folks? There was a black. There was a couple black guys. One was blind. Oh, me and the principal were the only two people I think that thought that was funny. And the blind guy too. He was like, am I like the only black dude? We're like, pretty much. He's like, that's pretty funny. We're like, yeah, it's pretty funny. He was cool. He was really cool.
I don't see color.
Yeah, he was fine.
I actually don't see anything. It's fine.
Yeah, he was great. He's like, ah. But it was just, yeah. And I remember kids being racist and that fascinating me.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, we don't know any black people.
Yeah.
How can you hate someone you've never met?
Absolutely.
I don't like Kevin because of that shit he pulled in third period. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who I hate right now is Kevin because what he said that was true, but I didn't like that he said it.
Yeah.
But the racism thing fascinated me. And it still does. As you can tell, it's still every time I talk about it, I'm like, I don't. And then it's like, it's because it's taught.
Yeah.
Over. Yeah, I remember just like a kid growing up, like one of my best friends growing up would be on the bus and be like, oh, this is a stop where all the Mexicans get off the bus. And I would notice, I'm like, well, it is. But he would say it.
Ha ha, Mexicans live around here.
In a disdainful way. And then I said it to him like a couple weeks later. I'm like, as a step bro, the Mexican gets off. He's sitting next to me. He's like, well, this is Eric. He's Mexican. I'm like, well, why did you say it the other way? And Eric, are you getting off? Because if not, then that proved the whole theory wrong.
Yes.
But it was like, well, you were racist because your dad's racist. But then you made a friend who's Mexican. And now you're like, I'm not racist. Like,
no, I'm not.
Well, that's how the world should work. You should not mime or mimic the.
But was he. Still racist, but not against Kevin or what or Eric or what
that's
I forgot
what
the guy's
that's
name.
The confusion where someone always has their exceptions.
Yeah, we're like, he's a cool one though.
Yeah,
like you hear stuff like that where we grew up. Like,
yeah.
But I like T. Martin, you know, the quarterback of the Vols or something. You're just
people,
like,
yeah,
what?
People were getting we had a lot of Latinos and a lot of Indian and Middle Eastern people, and that was usually the target. Because then eventually we had like two black people in my high school and they were celebrities because everybody was like, man, I want to be friends with the black guy.
You only had two black folks in the Chicago suburb?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
But
I would have never guessed that.
It was, I don't know. I don't know what, you know.
Was that too many?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, they can talk together, come up with a plan. That's threatening.
Do they know each other?
Don't put them in the raging
just
class.
Keep them separate.
But, I mean, that's the irony of, like, what you're talking about. Like, he's one of the good ones. Like, I don't like black people, but I like the one that I know.
That's...
Well, yeah. Well, maybe...
That's the thinking.
Yeah.
Which is always... That was always fascinating mm-hmm. to me. But it's still, like... It's a lack of travel, I think, more than anything, because people I went to mm-hmm. high school and college with that I thought were... And they were very smart people... But they haven't traveled or got out of there. So when I go back, sometimes they say things where I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then I have to, like, it's this thing in the moment where I have to read the situation. Where I'm like, should I correct this or do I have to let this go right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's like, I'm leaving tomorrow, so this is.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like, oh, you don't have to make life difficult for yourself in this town of 3,000 people by
that
saying,
I don't.
Hey, I think gay people are okay, and I think this. Like, if somebody lives there and is like, I don't like gays, and like this, I also don't know anybody that's gay, but if I met them, I'd be scared of them.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, just fine. Stay, please stay here.
Yeah.
Maybe just, if you're refusing to learn a lesson, please stay here.
Keep clocking in.
You don't
clocking
to,
out.
I'm not going to ask you to do your bit, but can you walk us through the bullet points of your bit about living in a small town and prom?
Oh, where it's just, yeah.
That's this, a true story, I'm assuming?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if I could make that up, I wouldn't be a comedian. I'd just be running.
That's a great story.
It was, yeah, it's. What happened was, like, when I was in, like, in fourth or fifth grade, I had this older cousin, second cousin or something like that. He got in a fight with this dude who was doing something at a party. He had a gun. He shot the dude.
Your cousin shot the dude?
Yeah.
Just shot him?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know for sure
because
I wasn't there. And I do this, like, I just recorded some stuff. And I have the whole bit about it. It's, like, 30 minutes, but. And that's before I would, when I was working it out, I realized, like, I had to preface it before because of whatever the times or anything. But I figured out how to do it in a joke form. But for a while, I was just like, I don't know if this is how this actually happened. This is how I was told in fifth grade, and I've made that memory funny. So
but
that's
all comedy. Like, everybody should understand it's not a...
They should.
It's not a court testimony.
Yeah.
Don't hold it as...
But, yeah, and I figured out, like, oh, and it's... So you just figure out how to, like, tell the judge... Like, make it funny while you're explaining that it's okay to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, people get weirded out by certain... Just when you're talking, I was like, this didn't happen. This happened to me.
Yeah.
Happened to my cousin.
So
he murdered
someone. Something happened. Gun went off. The other dude died?
Died. The big court, you know, the court and everything, blah, blah, blah. Everything, there was paranoia for a year or so. I remember in fifth grade. I don't remember details. I just remember shit got real. And, like, I don't want to say my innocence was lost, but I remember it was around the time where I was like, things aren't the way people say they are.
Yeah. So what happened to your cousin?
Not everybody's just happy.
Yeah. And
Christmas is going to be weird.
And sometimes people shoot each other for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, my cousin went to prison. He, whatever, second degree murder, I think, was the what they ended up charging him
still
with.
Still in?
No, he got out like 6 years later. He's like,
wow.
He, I went and visited him. That's in the fucking bit, too. Transformative couple of events that involved that stuff. And then in high school, I just knew a lot of people. I got along with a lot of people. And I had like a couple girlfriends, but never for very long, just because I like doing too much stuff. And I wanted to leave. So, like, anytime I really liked somebody, I was like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to get the fuck.
Unless
I can't
you want,
like
unless you.
You
want to leave, too.
Yeah, and most of them did not. Nope. They were like, this is home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this, this, and this. And I was like, we already do that.
Somebody's going to say, I'm pregnant real soon.
That was, I didn't have sex in high school. And a lot of it, I remember I said because of Jesus. But most of it's because, like, anybody I knew that did got pregnant or something happened where I was like, now they live here.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can just fuck someone in the next town. I'll wait. And, but the girl, one of the basketball players, she was really good. You know, you sit at a certain table every day in lunch or whatever, and then you get that group, everybody hangs out, and she and I just got along. We were just funny, and she was like, why don't you go to prom with me? And I was like, baseball season's going on, blah, blah, blah. And I told my dad, and he was like, no, you can't. He's like, I just don't think that's a good idea. And I was like, why? And he's like, you know who her brother is, right? And
you
I was
didn't
like,
know at the time.
It never occurred, you know, because it was like a thing that didn't truly happen to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, so then my dad's like, what'd you say? And I was like, well, we're doing good in baseball, so probably can't go. So I just told her. Like,
so that was victim's sister?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's great.
What did you tell her?
I told her no.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was the real thing. We were doing well in baseball. So if we would have kept doing well, there was a chance we couldn't have gone. So I just didn't want her to be like, spend all that money, and then I'd be like, I have to go play baseball. So you don't have a date because we went on Thursday.
Do you?
So
think,
I just said no.
Did she know?
Changing your family.
Did she know who your cousin was? Huh? Do you think she knew the connection at the time?
I don't know. I never. I mean, I.
Those Davises. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, and I don't. And that's not even the Davis side that did it. I don't think so. I think we were fun.
Yeah.
You know how you just have like it was like a group of people that got along. Mm-hmm. She was a year older than me. She was like, "Why don't you go with me?" And I was like, "I can't baseball."
So. I don't think I had anything that ridiculous in my town.
Yeah.
Of like that like happenstantial.
No, I mean, and that wasn't even, I mean, the big deal that I think about in my high school was one of the teachers fucked one of our friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that went down.
Female teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a Spain trip where,
this was ongoing. It was a
that's not a crime, by the way.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a crime. He was 18. He was just an idiot.
Even if he was 15, that's not a crime.
Why is that not a crime?
To quote Adam Carolla, he says,
As your lawyer, you can't
beat off to the crime after the fact, it's not a crime. 14-year-old boy getting banged by a 23-year-old female teacher.
I'm going to say that you and Adam Carolla are wrong in this case.
Yeah, I don't
know. Of course I know the legality of it and the double standard, but like, what 14, 15-year-old boy is going to be traumatized by that? He'd never stop high-fiving.
I don't know. 14 or 15, yes, I think.
That's the default answer to a 15-year-old.
I think 18-year-old. But I will say this.
I'm a survivor of statutory rape. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah.
You were
how old?
I was 15. She was 18.
That's fucking weird.
I got over it.
I know. It's like, where it would give me the ages.
I'm okay.
He's like Roy Moore's fucking campaign manager over here. Technically, I was a victim.
As Adam Carolla said, what's up with all these bitches being sluts or whatever he says?
No, I'm just saying the
point. I just
want to
be the
know,
Homer Simpson.
15-year-old boy hooks up with a 23-year-old female teacher.
I will say this, though.
He's reliving that moment for a
while. He was in love with her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Oh, so somebody maybe manipulated the feelings of a 15-year-old.
Well, he was 18.
Oh, he was 18.
He was 18. She was 23, 24. But she was looking. Like, the more we looked back on it, that was a funny event, too, because, like, she was hot. Like, she's, like, hot. Yeah. And one time I was, like, in her room doing something, and it felt like, I remember thinking, like, it feels like she's flirting with me. But I was also 18, and I was like, I would just remember thinking, like, that was me wanting her to flirt with me because mm-hmm. she's very hot. And then cut to, like, 3 or 4 months later, my friend being like, yo, dude's fucking Miss So-and-so. And I was like, oh.
But yeah, you have imagine, like, that's where I could see the criminality coming into it, is that. You're talking about, you got to leave and learn things. You're in high school. You don't leave high. Oh, if somebody dated somebody from another high school, you're like, what's that like?
Yes.
Is it weird over there? It's like the Seinfeld where Elaine finds the opposite group of friends.
Bizarro.
Yeah. So the fact that, like, oh, you're a teacher, maybe just because you're 23-year-old, you're a hot lady, doesn't mean you can't be all dinged up in a brain and be like, oh, I have a stable of horny boys coming in here, horny fuck ponies. That are in the best shape of their lives.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Ready to do this.
Just
and I'm
swinging.
I'm going to say this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's preying on youth.
Yeah.
No, she preyed on
wrong,
who she...
But I'm saying...
She preyed on who she preyed on. For real.
Yeah, of course. She's in the wrong.
But if a 15-year-old... If you banged a 15... A 15-year-old's like, I love this woman. And then you just did that. You broke a 15-year-old's brain by fucking him.
Yeah.
And you're 23 and trying to teach him algebra.
Yeah.
But I didn't think of this till later in life when I was thinking about it. Her husband... was the principal at another school that she went to.
Oh, boy.
And was her teacher and coach and then got her, like, right out of, like, they already had, like, 2 or 3 kids at 24. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, he plopped her. You know, it wasn't until I was older.
Lose them how you get them.
Yeah, and exactly. Where she's like, hey, wait a minute. I could do this, too.
Yeah.
And it was like, but I remember the funniest thing was, like, there was, like, four or five people that knew for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only people in the world. And then one girl that found out, one guy told a girl he shouldn't have told that didn't like the guy that was doing the stuff, like, was mad at him for some other, like, stuff from, you know, earlier in high school. And then the next day I went to school and the whole school knew. It was like I couldn't stop laughing all day. I was like, yesterday no one knew. Now everyone knows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like high schooler. Like,
funny.
Imagine now with Facebook. Imagine being 14 with Facebook.
I would be. We'd all be in jail. We would be in jail.
I don't know. I would not know how to maintain. I finally saw that movie, Eighth Grade. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. Because
it was great. Yeah. I thought it was great. I thought it was like as far like the actress that the main actor in it. She was great. Yeah. And as far as just how to navigating youth, I'm like, I don't know. It was educational. I'm like, how clumsy. Like, just being that age was fumbly and weird anyway.
During the first time you, like, made out with somebody?
Yeah. I'm going to put my face on a screen all the time.
And then here's my...
Yeah. I guess what could go wrong if I, take a picture of my junk?
Yeah, in a moment where you're like, this is funny. Because all the dumb shit... Like, you remember when, like, people used to tuck their balls up in between and do the Buffalo Bill thing and then turn around and then they're like, hey, look, hognose growler.
I'm in somebody else's comedy show now.
Yeah.
Someone who didn't do comedy before was a friend of a friend or something. We were all drunk in New Orleans partying and she went somewhere like, hold my phone. And I'm like, look at snap, just can't see anything. Pulled the pants open, snap, drunk in New Orleans shit. And then my friend just grabs the phone, goes to mom, and sends it. And now there's, I'm friends with her. She asked permission to put it in there. I'm like, I did something, and I'm not.
You gotta.
I'm embarrassed that I did it. But if you doing that, putting it in your show because you think it's funny, okay. If you're not trying to shame me,
yeah.
Or if you are, I did that. And I will live up to being a drunken idiot in New Orleans and taking a picture of my junk with your phone.
Well,
so technically, I didn't send you a dick pic. I hand-delivered it.
Some amount of shame is healthy. Like, not feeling any shame, that's
sociopath.
Not fucking healthy.
That's being a sociopath.
Yes.
Yeah, shame keeps you in check.
Yeah.
Or is that a psychopath? I never remember.
I think the murder thing is that's always my distinguishing difference. It's like a sociopath won't necessarily... like, physically harm anybody.
No, but they'll, like, just manipulate behaviors.
Yeah, and a psychopath will, like, make people do whatever they need to do to get what they want.
I was watching Dexter. I didn't watch all of Dexter, but I watched a few seasons of Dexter. Like, seeing how he's trying to, like, pretend to have emotions around somebody's kids or something. Like, there's a scene where, like, they're all playing by the pool, and, like, the kids and the dads are there, and the dad's, like, playing with the kid and throws the kid in the pool. Like, oh, Dad, you're so funny. And he's like... and he just sees, like, his girlfriend's kid and just throws him in the pool. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? He did that.
I was being a person?
Yeah, it's like a robot trying to be a part of the world. Not knowing much about the subject, like everything else on the show, I thought it was a pretty good depiction.
So.
I think it explains how they operate, if that means.
What emotion do I need to display to get something?
This is, it's... constantly manipulating.
Yeah.
Which has got to be exhausting on some degree.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
So after high school, you go, where'd you go to college?
I played baseball for 2 years. I went to a junior college, which was awesome. I'm glad I did. I learned how to win, if that makes sense. Like, we won. I played with, like, a bunch of guys that were from programs that were like, this is how you do this. And you're like, oh, shit, cool. I've always wanted to do this. No one else in my town was down to do this.
I've never heard it said with such a, well, I'll learn how to win.
It was, you know, like.
You will learn how to win. I was like, I'll learn how to win.
It was like that. It's a mental thing more than anything else. We're like, These dudes just showed up every day, and we're like, well, we're going to beat whoever comes here.
Yeah.
And then we did every time, and I was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
But, like, the way, and, you know, it's not even, like, winning as far as, like, the way it's used right now. Like, winning and, like, that. To me, it's just more about how to succeed in life. It was, like, every day you showed up to do your job. And if you didn't, fuck you.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
And then people started
cheating and stuff, and that's when I was like, oh, you guys want it more than I do.
People were cheating opposite. At junior college baseball? Oh,
yeah.
I've never said this on the podcast. Oh. 4 years of high school football, 0-40.
Wow.
Went 0-for 4 years in a row. We sucked. We had good players. We just didn't have enough of them. Like, we were playing, everybody was playing both ways. We had like,
you never won.
We had like
one?
21. No, 0-40.
So you were
0-10, 0-10, 0-10.
Were you and anybody else on the team the whole time?
What's that?
Was it just you? Was it your fault?
One statistician's like, I think it's Stone's fault.
Well, so you're the common denominator in all these losses.
And what was so frustrating about that is we were a really small school, but for some reason, you know how high school sports,
we only had 9 players.
They divide you up. You're in different regions.
I don't know if that joke's funny.
But we were in like the toughest region. We were in like, you know, 5A. We're playing all the big schools, like the Metro Atlanta school. I don't know. And we're always like,
so
can
they were
we play like
Pickens gerrymandering County? your districts?
I guess. But like, we would have won some games had we been in a lesser conference or a lesser region. But we were in like top tier region and like just got destroyed every year, every game. 0-10, 0-10, 4 years in a row.
Good thing you didn't make the playoffs. I've been like, 0-41.
I mean, you talk about frustrating, like discouraging, like showing up to practice every day, knowing your team hadn't won a game in 6 years.
I don't know how you do that.
It sucked.
I spiked a volleyball past a athlete in our gym class once, and that's 1-for-1.
That's a good.
I spiked it, and I knew I must have done something good because he immediately wanted to kick my ass.
That's awesome.
I got nothing to do with it. I'm just like at the net, and all of a sudden, you know, you're dicking around playing grab ass, and all of a sudden somebody sets it up like, oh, I'm going to spike it. And I did it, and it went past him because everybody underestimated me and Jim. And he's like, you're fucking dead, man. I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm like, I'm playing volleyball.
Take it easy.
You're not even one of the volleyball players. You're on the soccer team.
That was the difference between football and baseball to me, too. I noticed I could have more conversations with more people on the baseball team.
Oh, not as aggro.
Yeah, definitely not nearly as aggro. A little more cerebral, you know?
Yeah.
We had a sadistic, I don't know if I told this story. They would do, it was a split freshman, sophomore class. I'm small now.
Yeah.
And I was like, me and my buddy Joe were two of the tiniest dudes as freshmen we got to high school. And I remember like, and again, where comedy starts, they said self-defense. Comedy is the only thing that's almost got my ass kicked every time is opening my mouth.
See, I feel like I'm the athlete version of you, where I was like always in athletics, but I was the smallest one because my dad was always like a coach, so I was like thrown in. So
but
this is
you
where
had
my
coordination.
Yes,
but I didn't have any of that.
But that's where my mouth came from.
I always want to be a smart ass.
Well, no, I had to be because they're just throwing me around.
Yeah, and I'm like, listen, I'll make you laugh to the point where like I'm not a threat.
Yes.
Yes. What are you gonna get out of kicking my ass? You're gonna look like a jerk.
Yes.
Because people like me because I'm fun.
That was me. That was my defense.
Yeah, you're gonna beat up the fun guy.
Yes.
So I remember being in the locker room.
There are bigger guys than you that like me. Thank God.
I know we're in the locker room. Me and my buddy Joe like at the urinals. Some guys like, look, fucking kids in here. I'm like, yeah, man, we're on a field trip. And Joe's like, shut up. We're going to die.
Yeah, I am a kid.
But they played King of the Circle. They took a freshman and sophomores, lined them up biggest to heaviest.
That's mean as hell.
Biggest to heaviest. You're big, but you ain't fat. This is going to tell me shit.
And then you're fatter than you're big, so you need to go over here.
It was smallest to biggest, and they took the smallest friend. Just the coach bored and pulling some – fucking, am I using Machiavelli in the right way? Caesar, you know, like a Roman emperor type shit. Would take the smallest freshman and the biggest sophomore and make them do King of the Circle.
Huh.
And I'm all the way here, and I get this giant Greek son of a bitch who's already a jerk and just huge for his age. And it's just get, like sumo wrestle, get out of the circle on the mat.
Yeah.
Who won?
I did.
Yeah?
Not because of skill, but because he's a big dude being cocky, and I just moved quick enough, and he stepped out of the circle. Nice. Coach is like, Kanane, you did it. I'm like, I'm dead. Thanks, dude. I'm dead. Because then in the locker room, every single kid like, fucking Kanane can beat him. I could take him out. And this dude was ready to fight the whole gym class. I'm like, I'll tell everybody you won. I don't give a shit about this class.
I said that to a dude in college, this big defensive lineman. Well, after I quit playing baseball, I went to a bigger school because I just wanted to party. I was like, you guys are too intense. I can't play baseball every day. This is a lot.
Really? So you just got burnt out?
Yeah. And like I said, people were doing steroids and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, I'm not.
Qualify as a cheating.
I mean, I called my dad. I was like, so many people are doing it. It's not cheating. It's the way. And then it came out. And like a couple years later is when it was the big story came out and all that. And I was like, know, right?
Like it came out a big story in college, or you're talking about like Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball. Yeah. Where it was just like, night. I had figured out because
home
of
run derby,
where I was at. Yeah. Where I was at in the time frame, because I was, you know, pro scouts were coming to watch friends of ours and me sometimes.
Did you get scouted?
Yeah. But like, just because I was on a good team and my right arm was great.
Yeah. Like, let me pat you on the dick a little bit here. Great ball player. Billy can rake. Got a cannon. Baseball's always funny because
what that means.
It still makes me feel good, and I had nothing to do with it. You know, it was like God was like,
I didn't know. That seems like more of a grounds.
When you're just playing around with buddies, like me, you, and a couple other buddies used to go out a few years ago and play about once a week. But the one guy who just throws so hard, you're like, hey, take it easy, Billy.
Come on, man.
I just can't.
Like, I got soft hands.
Yeah.
And if I throw it less than that, don't know where it's going. That was like this thing where I was like, oh, I can do this thing.
Uh-huh.
And I can see where this takes me.
You're a catcher, right?
Yeah. And I like that because mentally, I would just get bored if I played any other position because it's fucking boring. I get when people are like, baseball's boring. I'm like, no. I love it. It's my favorite, but I understand why people think that.
It is hard to defend that.
Yeah.
That's why it's the only one I like out of major sports. I'm like, everybody seems like they're mellow and enjoying this. Not like,
yeah.
All right, guys.
70% of baseball is doing what we're doing right now. My friend who...
I'm good at this part of baseball.
You're really good at it. You'd make a lot of teams.
Yeah, Kyle would be a good teammate.
Yes.
He's fun in the dugout.
Be a good utility infielder.
Yes.
Just eating sunflower seeds.
Or just watching the bullpens to make sure no one gets hit. He's like, what's his roster spot? And you're like, just don't. That's Kyle.
He opens the sunflower seeds for us. Yes.
He's always... Ask him questions. He's fun.
He's got the best bubble gum.
And the rain delay, you get Kyle in the dugout. We're going to have a good time.
Keeps the spirits up.
There's a lot of stories in baseball, too, so that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But what were we talking about?
So you play for 2 years. You get burnt out.
I know. It feels like.
So you go from baseball to partying. What school did you transfer to?
Western Kentucky, which is in Central Kentucky. Terrible geography program.
We're not trying to make any sense out of where you're from anymore. We learned that earlier.
No, don't. Don't. Like I said, I just kept going. That was like where I went to junior college was like an hour and a half from where I grew up. And then Western Kentucky was like an hour and a half from there. And then after that, I went back to Nashville. But Western was fun because I just wanted to drink and figure stuff out. And that's where I started believing conspiracy theories, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I joined a fraternity there.
Huh.
And like I said, I was ready to party. They really sold me on that beer and pussy thing. And then you get in, you're like, this is not what you guys said it was at all.
Oh, man.
I didn't understand old money.
Guy.
No, my dad tried to warn me. He's like, you're not like those dudes. Mm-hmm. He's like, you'll like three or four of them.
But with enough hazing, I will be.
Well, that was the funny thing. I played baseball for 2 years where there's no body looking over you because you've had years of hazing. So we just fucked with everybody. And everyone was constantly getting fucked with.
Yeah.
So when I went and joined a fraternity, I was older than some of the kids trying to fuck with me. And then my buddy that I was in the pledge class with, he played football for 2 years. So he was like 6'3", 240, just ripped. So they couldn't fuck with us either.
What would they? I've still I only know the movie representation of fraternities. Yeah. I don't know or the news stories because a kid died because he drank.
Well, it's
a
crazy
box of wine up his ass.
It's literally crazy though that like one brother a night doesn't die, because it is just a house full of kids with a lot of money and unlimited time.
That was an old Nate Craig joke. When Nate Craig looks like he should be the head of a fraternity, yes, he does. Like, what's going on with fraternity guys? I thought they were supposed to fall off roofs. How come they haven't done that in a while?
It's
just angry. Like, why aren't they dying anymore? Aren't they supposed to fall off roofs?
It's because everyone's watching them.
Did you experience this, especially in the South? I was not in a fraternity. I barely went to college. But when I was in Athens, Georgia, I worked at a radio station right next to a fraternity. And I spent 2 years living in a big college town. But I was amazed at the phenomenon of like rich, good old boys.
Yeah.
There were like these.
Yes, no, I didn't know that.
These frat boys wanted to be like Southern good old boy rednecks, but they got like a $60,000 F-350 that their daddy bought them.
Yes.
It's like, eh.
It's just a Cadillac.
Yeah.
But that is, it is like a, yeah, well, that's what it is. It's like this act.
Yeah.
Because their daddy is probably an insurance salesman, the best insurance salesman in like one county. Mm-hmm. But they also own a cattle farm that they don't run.
Yeah. But yeah, they fancy themselves these real blue-collar types.
Yeah, but they got crazy money.
Crazy money.
Well, that's when I started, because I met these alumni from our fraternity, and like sometimes they'd meet in our house, like in the basement, and they were like business people and lawyers and judges. And then like our guys would get in trouble, and they're like, "We'll try to get in front of this judge and wear your pen and do this." And I was like, well, if these redneck motherfuckers are doing this at this level, people with actual power are doing this.
All that skull and bone stuff they talk about, like, I believe, like, you know, Republican Burning Man. What is it up north?
Oh, Bohemian Grove?
Yes.
Yeah, where you realize that's all that is just a big country club frat party for people that disagree with, you know,
it's
being good for society.
Yes, it's
make your connections, and hey, when I need a favor, I met this guy when we had our dicks out yelling at this burning owl statue.
That's when Alex Jones went and did that. I remember watching that and being like, oh, that's just ritual. This is a fraternity. This is all this is.
Yeah, and also like, why is like, man, these are your friends, dude. For Alex Jones, like later on, you're like, yeah, man, this is what you want.
That's what you're just mad you weren't invited. That was his thing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's when I was like, oh, if, and then you know, my sister's, well, he's my brother-in-law, I guess, no, my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, he went to Yale, and I was like, did you do one of those secrets? And he's like matter-of-fact about stuff, and he was like, I got approached, but I don't like drinking, so I was like, I don't care. And I was like, oh, so, but he's not like politically minded or anything like that, so the networking didn't interest him either. He's like, I'm already at fucking Yale. Why do I need to get in a smaller group?
Yeah, because
what's he do now?
He runs a private school in Chattanooga.
Well, how much of that is it like what I think about what Scientology is, like a frat? Like, was there any element of like, oh, you get drunk and you share all these secrets, but then if somebody wants to like, hey, you know how you did this thing you don't want anybody to know and you trust us as your brother? Yeah, now you're going to do us a favor. Like, I wonder if there's like, if there's that element. That's the conspiratorial part of it.
I'm sure some of them use that.
But I think, yes. I think, and it depends on, like, I think certain secret societies probably do that. And I think, but I think fraternities probably were used to be a lot worse. But now, because of this, like, the lack of information spreading. So there was, like, more mystery to all that shit. But, like, there's, like, a word we weren't allowed to say, our whole pledge, like, the whole semester, you're not allowed to say Phi Alpha. That probably gives away what fraternity was, an SAE. but it doesn't.
You can't say the name of your fraternity.
No, Phi Alpha was this thing you say to your brothers or whatever. And like, I just met this dude through my wife, and he's very funny and silly, and this actor. And he was like, yeah, I was an SAE at fucking Arizona State, and I just did the handshake. And he was like, Phi Alpha. And we both laughed because it's the silliest
shit.
There's
a handshake?
Oh, it's a handshake and the
really?
Whole thing. Yeah. But what's funny is like,
SA stand for? Sigma Alpha?
Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Okay.
What's also funny was like, I was friends with a lot of Sigma Chi's because they were more athletes. Uh-huh. So that's how I would just go play basketball and stuff with them. Mm-hmm. And then one night we were drunk and I was like, what's your handshake? And we figured out we both had the same handshake. So all our secret hands, just like, there's only so many things you can do with your hands when you shake. So.
It just seems so silly.
So funny.
Yeah. I always laugh like, yeah, man, fraternities are stupid. Like, we'd always go see punk shows on a on like college camps. Like, oh man, these fraternities are ridiculous. Anyway, do you have your buttons from the band on, and do you have your t-shirt?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I did. We did play this one house in DeKalb. And they were just the BMX house. Like some BMX riders lived there and all these punks. But so they had, it looked like Greek letters, but it just said BMX over the door.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And, but yeah, it was just that attitude of like, I understand the idea of wanting to belong, but why does it have to come with excluding other people so you can belong? It's just proprietary. I remember like kicking some garbage that was on the curb, and then the frat guys in the house like, you fucking with our stuff? I'm like, is this your garbage? Yeah, dude. Well, fuck you up, dude. I'm like, it's garbage. Like, yeah. Oh, it's just, you're not getting laid tonight, so you're going to fight something.
Well, it's deeper than that, because I didn't realize a lot of it. You know, as you get older, you have perspective on behaviors and stuff like that, because there are a lot of that time really confused me, especially being in the fraternity, because I didn't understand old money. Like, there were people in that fraternity that knew what their life was already.
Yeah, they already had it planned out. Like taking over the family business.
Like, no worries in
the freedom to just break off and live because they're going to be fine.
Fucking do whatever they wanted in this way that was, I didn't understand. And, like, kind of probably envied, because it was, they didn't have worries. This was just this 4-year experience that they were soaking in.
Yeah.
And then they were going to do this other thing. And they did this because their parents did this and they did this. So that was fucking fascinating to me.
Yeah.
The old money stuff. And then I never understood, like, the mob mentality that it would happen sometimes. Uh-huh. But it's dudes that never had, like, true friends. It's a lot of those dudes.
Oh.
So, like, there was a large group that would always do everything with the... And then there was, like, you know, 15 or 20 of us that were just everywhere. Because we were like, this is fun. And then we got into it. Like, when a bunch of us got into it, it was because these brothers were in charge, and they were really fun and carefree. And then these other people got in charge, and the whole thing changed. And that's what made me realize, like, oh, this is like life, where it's like, fuck, if the wrong people get elected, it fucks everything up.
Yeah.
And then it became about money and all this other stuff, and that's when I was like, peace.
Are you friends with any of the people from the that you were in the fraternity with still?
Yeah. Yeah, like, probably social media, and then we'll text sometimes. Yeah.
I'm friends with, like, all my hometown friends still, because it's like, it's the people that you, that your like-mindedness or what have, that you gravitated towards. That's how I was always, like, as a kid, like, fraternities, like, oh, you got, you're that desperate, you got to join a thing to make friends, like, just make friends. But then understanding that's not easy for people.
No.
You can see, like, I'm leaving home.
Well,
I'm
the girl I was dating,
I got to go to college. At least this place will help me.
Yeah.
Adjust. Idealistically, is there to help you adjust and get by socially where the school's educating you, you know.
Yeah, in the South, too, the Greek system's, like, very influential, and that's with the party in a lot of bigger schools. So, and I don't think I would have done it, except for the girl I was dating at the time wanted to be in a sorority. So she was like, go through Rush while I go through Rush.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. And I met these group of dudes that I was like, these guys are fun. And I was like, how much is it? And it wasn't like at a big school, you know, this is like a mid-market school. So it was like $400 a semester, which I was like, it's not bad. I didn't know that you had to pay every time you did fucking anything. I just thought, oh, this isn't. So I didn't do a lot of all the bullshit stuff. But it was just, so it wasn't. But then you see that these people really dig it. And then their dad was in it and their grandpa was in it.
And it's that hookup, like, when you get out, you're going to have a job because so-and-so was in it. And then
it's eight dudes or insurance agents I was in my pledge class. Eight across the state of Kentucky. They just spread out. Which is like an easy
So that means when you're 16 years old, you're like, I'm going to be an insurance agent.
Yeah.
Ugh.
To me, that sounds sad.
Maybe they thought I was insane.
Someone else is excited for the stability, but I'm like.
When I started smoking pot, too, they really, like, a lot of them are like, he's going down a bad road. Like, I remember that was like,
Jack Daniels,
yeah,
punch a guy.
Like, hey, give me some pills. Give me some pills.
Yeah. This guy's real mellow and thinking things through.
Yeah. It's like, this smart ass keeps calling out all our terrible behavior. Yeah. So it was just like, and then I found stand up because I was pretty depressed, too. I didn't realize at the time.
Yeah, man. I got that where I look back at my life like, oh, that whole time? Yeah, you were fucking miserable.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
I get PTSD going back home where I'm like sleeping at my folks' house. And not to throw them under the bus, but waking up and it's such a small house, you know, I could hear in the other room, like my mom, like, well, I don't know what he's going to do today.
But
I don't know. He's still in bed. I'm like, everyone can hear everything.
They know
and
that.
And then you look back to what you thought you hope they couldn't hear, and you're like, oh my God.
They heard
now
that.
Now I see their perspective. We have a fucking sex animal in our middle bedroom. I remember there's three bedrooms next to each other. My sister went to college, and I just lived at home until I was 26. And at one point, like, you're taking up end bedroom. I'm like, why? She's like, I don't know. I want you in the end bedroom.
Your mom said that?
So I wasn't next to their bedroom.
And yeah, like, because you keep fucking people.
No. No other person.
Oh.
That was not allowed.
Sorry,
parents
I gave you.
Could hear you in there.
I'm just
on
assuming
yourself.
Because now that I'm there, I can hear every single thing.
Yeah. No, my parents still live in the same house. Yes, it is crazy what you think was big when you go back.
Yeah.
Like, I went
back. Also, what you thought you got away with.
Oh, and you're like very aware. You're like, they knew everything you're doing, and they just chose not to address it at the time.
Just washing hard towels.
I can't imagine. It's just because watching my son, who's 9, do stuff, and I'm like, I know what you're doing. And then you catch him, he's like, how'd you know? I'm like, because I did it.
Yeah, I made you.
I made you, and I did all these things.
Chad Daniels jokes about his, like, catches, like, I found a ruler in my son's bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that talk. I don't remember how
just,
the rest of the bit goes.
Measured my foot.
But, yeah, sure you are. Okay, buddy.
yeah you just.
How do you handle that better than it was handled for you, if it was? It wasn't handled for me. It was just I know what you're doing.
Well,
not like it's like can't tell him to knock it off. Maybe the frequency could slow down.
My dad was I had to take him for health and wellness in 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And
so your dad was a teacher at your high school?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought you meant he was sick.
No, I had,
to take him somewhere for health and wellness.
Yeah, no, I had to. That was a class, health and wellness. And that's when you got the sex lady came and did the thing.
Oh,
and I remember that day because he was taking me to school and he was like, yo. And he already knew I was like a smart ass. That was my thing. But he allowed it because I was like, as long as I learned and I was a smart ass about what was going on, he was like, that's fine. He's like, any teacher. He kind of gave me lessons about stuff like that. And he was like, as long as you're doing the thing that's happening and you're not distracting, you can be funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a good trick.
Did y'all have the talk before that?
Not really. Because I wasn't dumb about it.
I
knew how to get information.
Yeah.
My sister said later on, she's like, I knew in 3rd or 4th grade, I just asked, and mom and dad told me. I was like, I just never asked.
I asked one of my questions in sex ed was, where does the bone go when it's not a boner? I thought I literally had a bone in my dong, but only sometimes. And I was very concerned with where the bone went.
That is the type of question that you're supposed to ask.
Yes, it
though.
Is.
And kudos to you for having the courage to ask.
Now, that is a good question.
The most awkward feeling of you knowing the teacher hated doing that, and then any questions, and like it's either going to be a smartass or it's going to be silence, and it's awkward both times. And everybody who had to teach sex ed, they would throw the gym teachers under the bus.
That's my dad. He's the PE, health and wellness. It was half of his PE, half of his health and wellness. And then that
he
day,
wanted to be a PE teacher.
He was a fucking PE teacher.
Well, that was
yeah.
all of ours. Like the caveat was like, oh, easy PE teacher. You got to do driver's ed and
Bam.
Sex education.
Bam.
And it's like,
that's exactly what he's doing.
Most uncomfortable around kids. And then you have to trust them with your life when they're driving a car.
My dad's great at both.
Oh, really? Good.
Well,
they
get someone from the health department to come do it. Because that's what he was like on the way. He was like, no, I don't want to peep out of you today. And he didn't tell me why. He was just like, listen, I'm cool with it all the time. Just none. And he was like, he's real. I call him like a far-sighted Buddha. Because he's just laid back, great football coach, and let people be. And then with,
yeah.
And, but he rarely got like that. So I was like, all right, motherfucker. Okay.
this means something.
Yeah. Where I was like, oh, okay.
If you don't talk to me like this all the time, then when you do, it's poignant.
It was very clear he needed. I was like, okay. And then we come to class, and it's today we're having the sex talk, and literally the whole class just turns and looks at me, and I was like, I promised my dad. He's a good dad. Nothing today.
I can't. I got.
I got censored. I got set up.
I have.
They sent Colin Powell in here, is what they did.
We would see, like, some of the gym teachers were just like, all right, we're going to go through this. Like, we're running drills. Like, all right, the penis goes in the vagina, it ejaculates, sperm comes out, hits the egg, and then it turns into a baby. Any questions? Great. Okay.
Kind of hurts. Move along.
Masturbation. It's a thing. You can do it. Don't do it a lot, but you'll do it. Anyway, all right. Like, go, break.
That's hilarious.
But then seeing these dudes are just... You could tell they're like the hard-ass football coaches, just petrified during driver's ed.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Walking back in from the Chevy Cavalier that only had an extra brake pedal on the passenger side, and you actively seeing the hair fall out of their head, just like...
My dad would hit it.
I got kids.
He would
phantom
hit it.
Do this. Yeah.
Like you'd be driving, my dad would be like, something like, oh, yeah. Do you want me to slow down? Is that what... And he's like, sorry, it's just... You were being scary for a minute, and phantom hit it.
I had to scream at my mom, and she listens to this, but she'll know. I've screamed at her face.
How do city kids learn to drive? How do you guys learn to drive?
I was in the suburbs. I had no motivation to leave like you did.
Yeah.
I also had no early growing up experiences like you get in the city. I was could have been preserved as a 22-year-old burnout to this day if I wanted to be.
What made you leave? Because you're very successful for someone with no motivation.
I got nothing. That was it. The lack of motivation was finally the motivation. It was finally after, like, when you're looking back, like, oh, that was depression.
Yes.
That's what it was. It was going to a shitty day job. I was bouncing around colleges.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting stoned as shit every night. I lived at home.
If you didn't have to wake up in the morning, you wouldn't get out of bed?
Yeah.
No, I was,
if
yeah.
If I did, I always had jobs that either were like pizza delivery, gas station, or some factory job where it's like I'd be hungover and just stand on an assembly line.
And if I didn't show up, they wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
I had a lot of those.
And then get stoned as soon as you got out of work. Like,
yes.
I don't miss the days. Like, I'm glad it's legal and it should be. But when you're like, what do you mean there's no weed? Like that cold feeling. There's no weed.
I do that to myself sometimes.
You didn't
on purpose.
See the guy? Oh yeah, you like.
I'll just like time it where I can't get to the store and I don't want to pay for the delivery, and I'll just be like
the delivery.
Isn't that funny?
You turn me onto that.
We live.
Yeah.
Ganja runner.
Ease. Postmates for weed. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's. It's dangerous.
Well, that's what Ganja Runner
They delivered at 9:15 a.m. one morning. I was just curious if they would, and the motherfucker showed up at 9:15. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Don't just get in my hand.
That was Postmates. There's nobody working for the weed delivery up at 9:15.
So funny.
They outsourced that.
Yeah. But yeah, I was finally like, man, try something. I was playing music and that made me happy. I wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
That was the realization. It was like, this isn't gonna go anywhere. I'm having a lot of fun playing music with my friends.
What did you like to do? But you, when did you figure out you could write?
I drank and
because the way you put words together, I've always thought like there's some education involved in that voice.
Yeah, I went to three colleges.
Okay, because it was getting in there. That's amazing to me when I look back at college. Like all the me avoiding going to those things, or even when I was there, like trying not to get the information in. Act, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you're just horny and want to be drunk. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, a lot of it's in there.
It's somehow, they did something right.
Yeah. I think it's just pounding it in every day is what it is.
I think it was just watching other comics. I think everything I've ever said, I can immediately give you the direct first generation wherever I've ripped it off from.
No,
not on purpose, but like
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Now I've written stuff now that I don't know all of Stanhope's library, but oh shit, that's a subject that I've come at it from the same approach as he has, and I've basically rehashed a Stanhope bit, not intentionally. I haven't even heard it before, but of course that's a Stanhope's. And then I just read his book, and it was very there's stuff he says in there. I'm like, oh, I say that stuff, and I never knew it as a Stanhope bit.
Yeah.
But like that's I just think like that also.
Well, I think that's just you're like-minded human beings.
Yeah.
That's another weird
thing.
If
it's not a personal story, you're processing an event or a turn of phrase that people use or something, and you'll process it with a similar mind. That's why it's hard to do current event material. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody's going to be talking about this thing that happened in the news, and some comedian's going to process it the same way you're processing it.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's also, like, I don't. People are like, oh, you like Hunter S. Thompson? I'm like, oh, I do. And they're like, do you read him a lot? I'm like, no, because when I do, you sound like him.
Yeah.
And he's very distinct. Through. I like his spirit. Like, I'll go visit places he did stuff, because that's more important to me at this point.
What shaped it?
Yeah, because I like that the tavern, Woody Creek Tavern. Ever been there? Mm-mm. It's out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Where is that?
It's outside of Aspen.
No.
It's just, it's on the way to Aspen in this like gravel road, and you're like, oh, this was where he was kicking all this shit up. Hmm. Just in the middle, and you're like, oh, we could do it from anywhere if you really motivated. Like, that kind of, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Like,
that was the old Paul F. Tompkins bit, I think, about, like, I want to drink at the places Bukowski drank. Pick any bus bench in Hollywood.
So, Billy, where and when did stand-up come around?
I always liked it. I always liked comedy. I always liked being funny. I did funny things in high school. Like, they let me do the announcements. Then I got kicked off the morning announcements.
So you had a gig. You had a comedy gig early on.
Yeah, yeah, and I got censored and fired from it because one of the teachers like was mad I wasn't taking the school news series.
Oh, when you were doing that in high school, being funny, were you thinking, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do this as a career one day?
I mean, maybe I thought it would be awesome to be like on Saturday Night Live or do something like that. Like, And I was like, trying to figure out how they did it, that kind of stuff.
How old are you?
38. Sorry, that's weird. I had to think about it, but I did.
No, that's all right. I mean, it's not an issue for you.
Yeah, no problem.
But like everybody just knew Saturday Night Live because it wasn't acting.
Yes.
It was comedians doing different stuff on a show because that's what everybody knew. I was doing a Wayne Fetterman's podcast, and he was talking about the history of comedy. He was talking about Chicago. And it's like, yeah. He's like, why did everybody, like so many good comedians came out of Chicago? Well, it's because everybody went there to go to Second City because that's what we heard people from Saturday Night Live went through that. So it's not like they're just from Chicago. People move there. It's like, why are there so many good scientists? Well, because of that university over there.
Before I started doing stand-up, that's what I told people at Western Kentucky, that I was going to go, when I was done with this, to Second City.
Hmm. Yeah.
And
because nobody knows where stand-up starts.
No.
You could trace back where
Chris Farley and Belushi. Yeah. Yes.
You went to this comedy college? I'm going to go there. And then people that got jaded, some people did both, but other people got there like, oh, it's all about just paying for the next class. And then they found open mics. So it was kind of like this.
This is weird.
Who's smoking cigarettes out behind the gig where the shitty singer's on stage, but the real singers are out back going, fuck this, man. We can just do this at my house.
Like, yes.
So that's where like all these great comics, it didn't happen because of Chicago. It's, I think, because Second City brought them there, and then they all dropped out, or some of them dropped out of Second City. And they're like, oh, we'll just do stand-up. This appeals more. This is free. It's by myself. I don't have to, like,
that's what I loved about it, was the by myself. That's why I was, like, weary to get into improv, because I played on so many teams that I was just like, I'm tired of depending on motherfuckers day in and day out. Like, just, I know if I fail, it's my fault. Yeah. I can handle that.
The effort is dictated by myself.
When other people fail me, it drives me fucking crazy because it makes me feel like I failed for trusting. It's this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Which is, it's the thing we work on now, and I like doing team stuff. But for a while, I was like, fuck this. But I remember I was all into, like, that. I was like, that's the only thing you can do. I'm going to go to Second City. And this cat named Patrick Moss, who was a purebred athlete. I don't know how he did school, but he went to high school with Nate Bargatze.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, you're funny. And this is really how he said it. He was like, you're really funny. You would like my friend Nate. And we were drinking outside this bar. I remember being like in this cafe and him putting Nate on the phone and Nate and I talking. And he was like, hey, man, what's up?
Hello.
Hey. Yeah. What's up?
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Billy. BW. He still calls me BW because that's what Patrick called me. And I was like asking about Second City, and he was like, no, man, I like stand up. He's like, I don't
was
have
he
to.
Was he in Chicago already when you were talking to him?
He was in Chicago. Like, he was probably outside Zany's or some open mic then. But I was still in college trying to figure it out.
That's funny because I missed him. I think he started right after I left.
Yeah. And then it was like 2000. one or two, three, maybe.
I left in 03.
Yeah, so it might have been right. Yeah. And then that's when it hit me, oh, I should look into stand-up around here while I'm doing this until I can move.
Yeah.
And then this girl I was dating at the time encouraged me to do zanies.
These girls you date really get you into a lot of stuff.
Well, it's a reoccurring pattern if I think about it. Yeah,
these ladies are really pushing your life along.
Yeah, it's been nice. Yeah, they've been like, you have potential, do something. I'm like, all right,
I reckon.
Keep touching it. That was it. Yeah.
Hey guys, we hope you enjoyed part one of our conversation with Billy Wayne Davis. Part two coming next week. Wanted to remind you, Kyle's off for the whole summer. He's semi-retired, but I still have dates that we forgot to mention in the moment. So tonight, the 23rd of July, if you are in or around Spokane, Washington, I will be there. I'll be at the Spokane Comedy Club tonight. One show. The Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane. So stop on by if you're in the area. Tomorrow, the 24th, I'll be in Missoula, Montana at the Roxy Theater. And then Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 27th, my Humboldt County folks, I'll be in Eureka at the Savage Henry Comedy Club. So come see a show. Love to see some boogers out there. Bring some pies, bring some baked goods. Bring yourself. That's more important. But yeah, stop by, say hello. Next week, we'll continue part two with Billy Wayne Davis. In the meantime, guys, if you're enjoying the show, we don't plug this too often. We don't want to hit you up and annoy you with this kind of stuff. But hey, why not? I'm already plugging stuff. Throw us a nice ratings and review if you listen to it on iTunes or whatever company or platform you use. But yeah, those ratings and reviews, they help us. We sometimes, we forget to plug the administrative stuff. Stuff falls through the cracks. But yeah, man, spread the word, ratings and reviews, whatnot. And yeah, come see a show. Spokane tonight, Missoula, Montana tomorrow, Eureka on Saturday. Hope to see you guys there. See you next week.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.